Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So many things that we want to uncover. A couple weeks ago, I did a message from Matthew chapter 5 called Operation Enduring Freedom. If you were here, you remember that we talked about Jesus said, if you're on your way to the altar and then you remember we talked about the suddenlies of God. When the suddenlies of God hit you, you have to respond. Jesus said, if you're on your way to the altar and then you remember that your brother has something against you, stop what you're doing, go and be reconciled to your brother. So we talked about Operation Enduring Freedom. Pastor Kurt talked about prayer, the importance and significance of prayer. Pastor Roger last week, fasting. And tonight I want to talk to you, I want to continue on in the series and tell you what the title is. It's obvious, it's on the front of the outline. If I prove it to you in the Bible, are you okay with what I'm going to say right now? Say yes. Say yes, you're okay. Okay. My wife actually walked up to me 5 minutes ago and she said, 10 minutes ago, and she said, are you really going to preach on the big butts of Jesus? And I said, yes, I am. It's in the Bible, so if it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach on it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Like I would ask you anytime we open God's Word, that you be open to whatever God wants to say to your heart. If you are willing to be open to whatever God wants to say to your heart, then when you leave here tonight, you'll have exactly what you're supposed to have, just like I will. So I'm going to start by praying that way, and then we're going to dive in. Are you ready to dive in? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the living Word, which has the power to impact and transform our lives, not in days, not in weeks, not in months, but in moments. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name for the moments of God to impact our heart tonight. Lord, we're not reading a history book. We're not reading a novel. We're reading the living Word of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we've committed our lives to it. Jesus, you gave your life for it. You are the Word. And God, so tonight, we open our hearts to be receptive to all that you want to say in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Okay, so the title of the message then, The Big Butts of Jesus. Say, prove it. Say, prove it like you really want to know. Okay, thank you. Happy to do that. First of all, let me say this, and then we're going to dive right into the Scripture. This thing that we're going to dive into tonight in Matthew chapter 5 is very difficult. I don't think Jesus really was concerned about saying easy things. He wanted to say things that would be life-transforming. He wanted to say things that would impact people beyond his lifetime. I mean, 3.5-year ministry, to be able to say things that would continue to impact people 2,000 years later. That's what Jesus was teaching about. He was teaching for impact. He was teaching for life change, and it's no different today. So, this certainly is a very difficult teaching, and we're going to try to unpack it, but my challenge to you is going to be, as it always is, wrestle some of these things out with the Lord. It's the best thing that we can do. Go to the Word, wrestle it out with the Lord, and see what God's Word says. So, here's what Jesus said. We're going to dive right in here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. Now, remember the scene here. Jesus had gathered large crowds of people by the Sea of Galilee, some certainly disciples, some curiosity seekers, people that just are curious, who is this guy that's doing all these things, that's teaching with power and authority? Who is this person? So people are gathering to hear this man Jesus, not really most of them knowing even who he is. So it's obvious from his teachings that he wasn't so concerned about keeping as a crowd as he was impacting the people. So here's what he says. He says, you've heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Nobody's lost at this point. People know the law. They know that that's the way life is done. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But then Jesus goes on to say this, but I say, this is a big but I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you, now I want you to imagine this. Now, here's Jesus talking. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Really, Jesus? Do I really have to do that? If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Now, oftentimes, Jesus said things that were simple, but not easy. This is simple to understand. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's simple to understand, but it's not necessarily easy to do. Haven't you found in your life and in your walk with the Lord that sometimes the things that God requires in our lives are not easy to do? They're not easy to do. We're called to be different. And so when Jesus is unpacking this, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's challenging us to be different. Jesus, we caught you. We're following you. When you say we understand an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But when he goes on to say this, but I say that's a big but. Say that's a big but. Come on, you know what it's like to be in a classroom. Say that's a big but. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you, now, back then, if someone would slap you, they would often do it with a backhand. It would be a backhand. It wasn't to knock your teeth out. It was meant to be an insult. So if someone insults you, if someone slaps you, Jesus is saying, turn the other cheek. In other words, you are positioning yourself that it's possible to be insulted again. These are not necessarily easy things to understand. So I want to unpack just two simple truths from this portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. But before we do that, let me give you number one, and let me set the stage with a couple things so that we understand exactly the crowd that Jesus is talking to and why this is so important. Number one on your outline, the law permitted both revenge and vengeance in the Old Testament. Both were permitted, revenge and vengeance permitted in the Old Testament. So when Jesus says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, they understand that vengeance is biblical. It's taught in the Levitical law. It's taught in the book of Exodus. So they're tracking and they're understanding that. But Jesus is going to go on to unpack this and tell us what we're supposed to do when somebody insults us. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to, they're not on your outline, but I want you to think about these questions as we begin to dive into God's Word tonight. What do you do when you're insulted? Jesus said when somebody slaps you, in other words, when somebody insults you, turn the other cheek. So what is our typical response when insulted by someone? Let me give you, and they're on your outline, so you're just following along with me, but as you're thinking about that question, look at the definitions of the word revenge and vengeance. The word revenge, to exact punishment or expiation for a wrong on behalf of, especially in a resentful or a vindictive spirit. Here's the definition of the word vengeance. Infliction of injury or harm. Now, this was biblical. This was allowed to happen. Infliction of injury or harm, humiliation or the like, on a person by another who has been harmed by that person. So that was allowed. So when they're saying, you know the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, yeah, we're with you. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying to people that are living in very hostile environment, the Jews were oppressed by the Romans. So they're living in hostile situations. They're living among people that don't care for them, don't like them, treat them lousy. And Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. When someone insults you, slaps you, insults you, I want you to turn the other cheek. That's a big but. That's not an easy thing. If we're honest with ourselves and we think about what it feels like to be insulted, whether that's verbally, whether that's emotionally, you've known the sting. How many of you would say you've known the sting of an insult? Every one of us in this room have known the sting of an insult. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about, and it's a big but. I say to you, don't resist an evil person. Really, Jesus? I have to live my life like that? That's a big but Jesus says it here. So, Violent revenge, an act or opportunity of inflicting trouble. These are ugly, ugly things. There's two things that I pull out of these few verses from Jesus. The first one is this. What do you do when you're insulted? Think about that question as we begin to dive in. And then what do you do when things are imposed upon you? Because Jesus said if somebody sues you, they're imposing something upon you. They've taken you to court. If somebody sues you and they ask for your cloak, give them your coat as well. When you really unpack this and you really understand what that means, Jesus is asking people to do a lot. The one garment was the inner layer that covered your skin. The other garment that Jesus was saying to give away, that was the garment that protected you. That was the garment that kept you warm. And here Jesus is saying, if you're sued in court and your skirt or your shirt, excuse me, is taken from you, give your coat too. So Jesus is saying, when you're imposed upon, if somebody comes to you and says, carry my gear a mile, remember, they're living in a hostile world. Somebody comes to you, a Roman comes to a Jew and says, carry my gear a mile. Jesus said, don't carry it a mile, carry it 2 miles. So what do you do when you're insulted? And what do you do when your life is imposed upon? Because I don't think we can live on planet Earth, we can't live as believers without being impacted often by those two things. Would you agree with that? So how are you doing? And how are you doing with that? Let me just... they're not in your outline, but let me just quote a few scriptures to you just about things that right in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are you, say that's me, blessed are you when people insult you. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 is saying there is a blessing on you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things because of me. In the natural, it's hard to wrap your mind around God saying that there's a blessing on the other side of an insult. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus and how he was insulted. Think about the things that Jesus... This is a big but. Don't resist an evil person. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaking here. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that in Christ's power they may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults. I delight, Paul says, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then he's strong. How do you delight in an insult? It has to be a supernatural revelation from God. But if we don't understand, if we don't really think about what do we do when we're insulted, what are some of the symptoms of insult? We withdraw. Oftentimes, if we're insulted, we're going to withdraw. We don't like that. We don't like the feeling of that. So somebody insults me, what am I going to do? I'm going to withdraw. Sometimes the reaction is I may belittle someone. They insult me, and I may assault them intellectually, and I may try to belittle them. These are some of the symptoms. There's many, many of them. But sometimes if you're insulted, you hold a grudge. How many of you have been there and done that? Sometimes we're insulted and we hold a grudge. It hurts. It hurts. These are symptoms. Sometimes if we're insulted, we suppress that. And that becomes a slow-acting poison that will destroy us. So how Paul says, I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships, because when I'm weak, Christ is strong. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. God, help me. Help me to repay insult with blessing. I got to grow to do that. I have to be bigger than I am to be able to do that, because an insult stings. This is a big but. If someone slaps you, really, Jesus? Turn the other cheek. If someone insults you, really, Jesus, I really have to do that? One more verse, Luke chapter 18, verse 32. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, speaking about Jesus. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. That's what they did to Jesus. They insulted Jesus. So what am I doing? What am I doing when I'm insulted? What am I doing when people are imposing things on me? Two weeks ago today, I was coming down from the mountains and felt fantastic. I had just spent 4.5 or 5 hours teaching at Eagle Rock up at YWAM community up there. And I left the base at 3:30. And by 5:30 that night, 2 weeks ago tonight, I was in the emergency room. By the time I had come down the mountain, I was shaking so bad I could hardly drive my pickup truck. I was meeting with one of the other pastors, and I said, you need to pray for me because something's wrong with me and I need to go home because I'm afraid I won't be able to drive my truck. And I went home and I stood in the shower for about 15 minutes, thought I just had a chill, got out, climbed under the blankets, and my wife, who's a nurse, began to check my vitals and said, something's not right. We better go to the hospital. So that quickly, we jumped in the car. We were at Lutheran within a few hours. They had admitted me, and I ended up being in the hospital Wednesday, Thursday, came home Friday, 2 weeks ago. And what they diagnosed, what they concluded was that I had sepsis. I had bacteria in my blood, and it hit me within 2 hours. I felt fine. 2 hours later, I'm in the emergency room at Lutheran Hospital. And the thought that hit me as I was recovering in the hospital and as I've had a chance to process for the last couple of weeks, that hit me so hard, and it affected me physically so quickly. I'm generally healthy. I've never in my life been in the hospital. And within 2 hours, I'm in the hospital. And I'm on IV antibiotics, and the doctors are telling me, you know, you're pretty sick. And I'm thinking, had no idea. And I wonder if the poison of insults, and I wonder if the poison of imposition in our lives is working through our system, that in a moment's time, if we don't extract it and do the right thing with it, we're going to end up in the ICU, spiritually speaking. This is a big but. That's why it's the big but of Jesus here. It's in the Bible. So what are we going to do with it? You ready to dive in here? Let's just dive in and move through this. And there's three challenges from Jesus. Three challenges in this portion of Scripture. And I think most of the time when Jesus talked, master communicator, best communicator has ever lived on planet Earth, three challenges from Jesus. The first one was this, to think something. Anytime Jesus said something, he wanted people to think something. When Jesus is saying, you know the law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We're with you, Jesus. We're with you. And then all of a sudden, he says, oh, but by the way, don't resist an evil person. And if he slaps you, turn the other cheek. Immediately, they're thinking something. Would you agree? Immediately, they're thinking, Jesus, I don't get this. I don't understand this in the natural. Anytime Jesus speaks to our hearts, the first thing he wants is for you to think something. First thing that he wants is for me to think something. What does he want you to think? What does he want you to think about insults? What does he want you to think about people or things that have been imposing on you? The next thing is Jesus wants us to feel something. He's talking about a physical slap. He's talking about people that are experiencing pain. He's talking about people that when they are taken to court and they lose their inner garment to give their outer garment as well. Now they're going to experience the cold and they're going to feel all of those elements. So Jesus wants us, anytime he speaks, he wants us to think something, he wants us to feel something, and then finally, he wants us to do something. What does he say? Turn the other cheek. If somebody asks for your inner garment, give him your outer garment. If somebody asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. So what is Jesus asking you to think, to feel, and to do when it comes to insults? We are going to be insulted. Jesus was insulted. We are going to be imposed upon. It's going to happen in our lives. What are we going to do with those things? If we think and feel the wrong thing, we're going to do the wrong thing. Isn't that true? If I think and I feel the wrong thing, then I'm going to do the wrong thing. So it's important, and that's why Jesus always taught to touch the heart. That's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to bypass all of the fluff, and he wanted to get right to the heart. So he's saying, Blake, what are you doing with insults? What are you doing with impositions? What are you doing with things that come into your life that you don't like? So let me just give you a couple simple points to challenge us as we really think about the big butts of Jesus. By the way, if you look, there's several just in the Sermon on the Mount. But I tell you, this is a big but from Jesus. I tell you, anyone who looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. That's a big but. But I tell you, anyone that divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness, that's a big but. But I tell you, do not swear by either heaven, for it is God's throne. That's a big but. But I tell you, do not resist any big buts. The big buts of Jesus, they're in the Word of God. What am I going to do with the big buts of Jesus? So number two on your outline is this. Here's what Jesus, again, keeping in mind that we're to think something, to feel something, and to do something. Jesus was teaching that biblical thinking requires biblical conviction. If I'm going to think something, it's got to be followed up with a biblical conviction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with all, also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." So when Jesus wants us to think something, he wants it to be followed up by a conviction. So if Jesus says to me, "Blake, if somebody insults you, turn the other cheek," I have to follow that up with a conviction. There has to be a conviction in my heart that says, when I am insulted, I am going to turn the other cheek. If I don't have a conviction about it, I won't do it. If I don't have a conviction about what God says in his word, then I'm not going to do it. So biblical thinking requires biblical conviction. So when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking as a, would you agree that Jesus was speaking as a man with great convictions? I mean, his ministry is living on 2,000 years later. His teachings are transforming our lives today. Why? Because what he thought were convictions of his heart. What am I doing with insults? Big buts. What am I doing with those impositions? Those things that are happening in my life. When I was laying in the hospital, and I was thinking, how does a person go from being healthy and strong and feeling fine and having his calendar all scheduled out and meetings and all this kind of stuff to all of a sudden being on my back, and I'm in a hospital, and I have to tell you, it was a surreal moment for me. Never been there before. I'm thinking, how can that happen so quickly? The poison of the insults that you don't do the right thing with eventually will rise to the surface. Doctor said, it's been there for a while. Just been lying underneath there, and that bacteria, and then all of a sudden it got to the point where it just took over. Now the prayers of the saints of God took over and drove that bacteria right out of my body, and I'm feeling great tonight. I'm feeling great. Thank the Lord for that. Thank God for prayers. And I'm standing on the word, and I know that. And I know many of you were praying for me. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I realize the frailty. I realize the frailty. How frail we really are. We are frail people. Do you have convictions about what Jesus said? Number three, Jesus was teaching the importance of biblical confidence, something we must feel. So it's not just enough to have convictions from the Word of God. We've got to have a biblical confidence. We've got to have, and I've got to feel that. I've got to be confident that I can stand on the Word, because you got to remember, Jesus is talking to a hostile crowd. There's disciples. He's called his disciples. There's 10, 11, 12, 20, 50 people amongst thousands maybe. They had to have convictions that what Jesus was saying they were going to lay their life down for, but they also had to have confidence. We have to have confidence that if Jesus says it in his word, it's good for me. And so the big but of Jesus is, I have to pay attention so that if people are insulting me in my life, it is not going to poison me like some kind of a bacteria that all of a sudden I'm going to wake up one day and I'm going to be sin crippled and laying in the bed because of that poison that's gotten into my system. And so I've got to have confidence. I feel this. This is a conviction from your word, God. I think it because your word says it, but I feel it. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, "Do not throw away your confidence." Do not. Say, do not. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. That's God's word for us. That is God's word for us. So I want to think something, and conviction is going to flow from what I think. I want to feel something, and confidence is going to well up in me when I start feeling the Word of God working in my life. Somebody insults me, I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to bless them. Now, not easy. Say, that's right. It isn't easy. We're talking about the teachings of Jesus. We all signed up for this, right? We're all here because we want to be here, right? We want to hear the Word, and we want the Word to transform us and the Word to set us free. I don't want the bacteria of insults or impositions. People impose on our lives. There's things that happen in our lives that we don't like. There's things that I didn't want to go to the hospital. I didn't want to be in the hospital. I didn't want to have to lay at home for a few days, and I didn't want to do that. But the fact of the matter is, there's things that happen in life that impose in your world. And what happens when things or people impose on your world? Do you shape to the circumstance, or do you stay true to the Word of God? And God, help me. I want to be able to do that more and more and more in my life. That's how I want to live my life. I'm on the way. I'm not there, but I'm on the way. So, number four then is this. You all following me? Number four, Jesus was teaching that we need courage for the things we must do. So, Jesus was teaching that we need courage for the things we must do. So, I've got to feel, I've got to think the convictions of God's Word. I've got to feel and have confidence, and then I've got to have courage to do what I know to do. Then I've got to have the courage. Jesus, you said, turn the other cheek. I'm going to do it. You said, give him my coat. I'm going to do it. You said, go the extra mile. I want to be a second mile Christian. I want to be a second mile Christian. What an impact that must have had on a Roman who required a Jew to carry their armor, their gear, whatever it was, a mile, and they get to that mile marker, and 99.9% of us are going to know for sure where that is, and then we're going to stop. I would stop. But can you imagine somebody turning to the guy and saying, you know what, I'm going to go another mile with you. I'm going to go another. Imagine what God can do in the life of the second mile Christian. Imagine what he can do. If God, help me to be a second mile Christian. I got to have courage, the willingness to act out of my convictions rather than how I feel. I don't feel like turning my face the other way when somebody slaps me. I don't feel like doing that, but courage is going to give me the strength to do it because Jesus said in his word, I need to do it. Now, are these the big buts of Jesus? It's in the word. It's in the word. So I need the strength to be able to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says this, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. Do everything in love. Be men, be women of courage. I wonder how many people, when Jesus was speaking, got up and thought, I don't know about this one, Jesus. This is really a tough one. If we truly dive into God's Word that's living and active, we can't help but see the truths of God's Word unpacked in a real life-transforming way. So, I started out, just a couple more thoughts before we close. By asking, what are you doing when people are insulting you? Are you symptomatic? It wasn't until after the doctor said, did you see A, B, C, D? Did you see any of that? And all of a sudden, I began to pay attention a little bit, back a day, back a couple days. And then you know what I found out? I found out that I had been tired for about a month. I'd come home from work, and I just was tired. I just was tired. I'd plow through it, but I didn't have the energy to work out like I was normally doing. I just was tired. And the doctors kept saying, did you see any symptoms? I didn't notice them. I didn't recognize them. It was because I wasn't mindful of them. Do you recognize any symptoms? Are you seeing any symptoms in you of maybe how you're treating somebody that insulted you yesterday? Or somebody that insulted you last year or 10 years ago, are you avoiding them? Are you not making eye contact with them? Are you holding that in? Are you letting something fester inside of you that's working, but you don't know it's working? And it's working in a negative way. It's working me in a negative way if I don't pay attention to it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes wherever we are, we're just imposed upon. We don't like the things that we have to do. We don't like the things that we have to deal with. And if we're not careful, and I'm being honest with you, I got to be careful in this area. I don't like things messing my world up. I like to be organized and I like to be planned. And when things come in and they start messing my world up, it messes me up. But you know, that's good for me. It really, honestly, and I'm being as honest with you as I can, that's good for me. I need my world messed up sometimes because I have to have an attitude adjustment. Because I can't live on planet Earth without imposition. I can't live without people imposing in my world. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I can't live without being insulted. What am I going to do, live in a bubble? Pretty soon I'm going to complain about the bubble I live in. I can't get away from those things. So I want to really challenge you to beware of the symptoms and ask the Spirit of God to quicken to you whether or not you're symptomatic. God, quicken to me whether or not I'm symptomatic. Am I just doing the wrong thing with the wrong things that happen to me? The wrong things are going to happen to us. The key is we've got to do the right things with the wrong things that happen to us. And say, God, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you. I want to bless people. I want to bless people when they insult me. That's a lofty goal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, last verse on your outline says this. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Oh, this was Jesus' desire. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness in all the persecutions and the hardships that you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show you his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom. Make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. There's a couple important words in there that I'd encourage you to underline. Underline the word endurance. We need endurance. If we're gonna make it through in the long run, if we're gonna make it through and we're gonna press into what God has for us, we need endurance. We need endurance. This is a marathon that we're running. The hardships. Underline the word hardships. We suffer hardships. We suffer challenges in this world. But the big butt of Jesus, Blake, don't resist that evil person. Someone slaps you. Someone insults you. Offer them the other cheek. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken, give them your coat. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Is it possible that God has brought people into your life that have been asking and that have been needing to borrow? And I'm not talking financially. Maybe they need to borrow your time. Maybe they need to borrow your talent, whatever it might be, and they're coming into your life, and they're coming into your life because God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless them, and he wants to bless you through them and bless them through you. So let me just leave you with this challenge. Respond with good every time. Every time. Respond with good every time because it leaves people with a big question. Why? Why? When I respond with good every time, it leaves people with the big question, why? Why are you doing that? I just slapped you. I just insulted you. Why are you doing that? The whys of God answer the big butts of Jesus. The whys of God answer the big butts of Jesus, and it swings wide the doors for the people to come in and see Jesus. That's really how it works. And God uses us to do that. God uses us to do that. So respond with good every time because it's going to leave a lot of big questions out there. Why are you doing that? You might not even know. You might walk away and somebody might just fold their arms and say, why did you do that? I just stabbed you in the back at work. I just threw you under the bus at work. Why did you do that? And you walk away and you leave them with the why. Leave them with the why. The big butts of Jesus will intervene and God will get a hold of their hearts. And God will do amazing things. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.